This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to Dig on America, where we speak truth to power. Every week, we give you the dig on how American history, policies, and media created the social and political issues we face today. DOA is independent media supported by listeners, but they'll tell you we're just fake news, deep state propaganda, funded by George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, BLM Marxists, and
the Melendez Brothers.
Wow.
The Melendez Brothers. Wow. Moff Gideon.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. That's a good one. All right. I'm going to say sponsored by Hyman, the left-throated swamp thought. Fuck you, Hyman. You fucking picked on my mans back in the day, and I won't have it no more. I'm telling you, Hyman, I'm on your ass until you apologize.
I'm so sorry.
You know, I just searched him on Facebook. He's a priest now.
No, he's
You're not.
I'm joking.
Oh my God. And he's running for Republican Congress.
I was going to say, is that the right one? Is he light-skinned?
He's running against Reverend Butler in Georgia.
Right. Hey.
Oh, then it was going to be gang gang. Yo, let's look at this man's voting record, though. Let me see your voting record, though.
That's right.
No one cares about the voting record. They only care if you're pro-Trump. It's
also brought to you by David Attenborough.
Oh, of course. Not Richard Attenborough.
What did he do? What did David do?
David's the voice of pretty much every BBC program teaches Earth. You about nature.
I love David Attenborough. That's why I was asking.
Like 90-something years old now?
He's old. 100. He's 190 years old.
He's been doing it since before the Queen was on the throne. So you know how.
But he's one of those damn evolutionists that's corrupting our children.
Hey, speaking of corrupted people, real quick, what the fuck happened to Dr. Oz?
I saw that. You know,
bro,
what?
He's
what
never happened? Been a real doctor. Doctor. He crazy.
Dr. Oz is crazy right wing, and he's running for Senate.
No, here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part. A couple of years ago, maybe back before, 2013, 2014, he actually went to the Senate. He was investigated by the U.S. Senate. And if you actually go look back at that, they exposed that he was crazy as crap back then.
Yeah.
And he was, a snake oil salesman telling folks all of these crazy things that, they said, well, does this really work? We have proof that this doesn't really work. You've been telling people to buy these pills. It's going to make them lose weight. I went and bought them. They didn't work. And they proved that he was a snake oil salesman.
You know, it's the crazier part. He would actually, the surgery that was performed on me to save my life 20 years ago, he was the best doctor in the world to do so. He is one of the foremost, or was at one time, the foremost heart surgeons, and wrote the book on the new procedures to do valve replacement.
Mm.
That's what Oprah's got to be like spinning in her non-grave. I mean, it's just.
I'm about to say, why she got to be dead, though?
But the only person that Oprah made famous that hasn't turned out to be a total dud is Rachel Ray.
Is Dr. Phil a total?
He's a total D-bag, too.
I don't know much about Dr. Phil, nor do I want to. Okay, so welcome back to Dig on
America. Y'all ever notice he looked like Mr. Potato Head?
Mr. Potato Head's been canceled, okay?
Why?
It's still a thing.
But welcome into Dig on America. I am Jason Dutch, second half of the show here with the Irish Swede, with Reverend Darius Butler, with Mikey Famine, with Big Haas. At the end of the show, we will have a cigar review. And Reverend Butler is a fan of the sticks, he says.
Brother of the leaf, get it right.
Brother of the leaf, right.
Why are you always trying to put us with sticks?
you guys are unconscionable. So what we're going to do, is we're just going to have a conversation. There's no dig topic today. Yesterday was the State of the Union. We already did Fort on territory.
We got to do Prank Mary.
Oh, we can do Prank Mary. We've already done Fort on territory with Swede, haven't we?
That was on VFU, I thought.
Okay, we'll do it again with Swede then. I apologize, Sweet. I thought we already did this game with you. All right. So we'll start out. We'll start out with Irish Sweet, who's here today for his insight on economics, because we're going to talk a little bit about the State of the Union and some of the topics that were brought up in that yesterday. So, but we'll start with the foregone territory. So, what state are you in? Nebraska? What rapper is from Nebraska? I can't fucking even do. I can't even fucking do that. Nebraska Joe.
Hey, what are that Cotton Eye Joe people, the rednecks, aren't they from Nebraska?
No.
I'm sure there's a couple of MAGA rappers from there. But anyway, so QAnon Carl, 21, said hike. All right, so Iris Sweet. First question we will give to Big Haas.
Look at that no look pass. He said he just had picture and he fucking.
Okay, I got you. I got
that
you.
That was fine. Pretty good.
Fine. Did Creighton win?
Yes.
No, Creighton won. That's not your question. That can't be it.
Hey, I like it. All right, I got a quick question for you. Beer or wine? What was your I believe you don't drink now, but before you stopped drinking, beer or wine, which was your poison of choice?
Girly drinks. Girly mixed drinks.
Oh, like mojitos and stuff.
Yeah. Slippery nipples.
Yep.
Slippery. That's something else.
I quickly grew out of actually caring what other people thought about me by what I drank, and I said, you know what, this tastes good. I don't really care.
Right. I'll have an Amaretto Stone Sour, please.
Oh, I used to kill those in college.
Edit
Amaretto
too.
Stone Sour, Sex on the Beach, Buttery Nipple. Oh, yeah. Lemon Drop.
I mean, I can drink right now. I can, you know, it's like three or four a week is kind of what I'm limited to due to the fact that I'm on blood thinners. But I would say right now, a good Michelada is.
Okay.
Nice. And
for those that don't know what a Michelada is, think the easiest way to explain it is like a Bloody Mary, only it's a 50-50 mix, Bloody Mary mix in your choice of beer.
Okay. Very nice.
He's trying to get slizzard.
Mikey, slizzard him.
Oh, there. Perfect segue. If you had to go to the Harry Potter school, which class do you think you'd be in? Hufflepuff, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, or Gryffindor?
You know, I don't know enough about Harry Potter.
Oh, damn. All right.
It was never an interest of mine. It was too much like Star Wars.
Damn. And J.K. Rowling is a piece of garbage. So
I didn't know that at the time, but I would say I know Slytherin are the biggest bunch of pricks. And knowing me in my youth, that's probably where I would have ended up.
Well, that's here. While they're asking you. Oh, what the hell? Awesome. There we go. While they're playing their doing their questions, I'll look up, like, Slytherin means more or less like calculating. Ravenclaw is more reserved and studious, and Hufflepuff is compassionate, empathetic, and brave is Gryffindor. So it's,
I'll go with Ravenclaw then.
That's what I said.
Ravenclaw.
Can I just jump in here for a moment and say,
No, you can't jump in right now. you can't just jump in right now because it's your turn. So you get the next question.
Goody. All I'll say is when he asked the question, in my mind, Ravenclaw was the first one that came into my mind. So now you guys know that I am a Harry Potter nerd as well. So whoop-de-doo. So here's my question for you. Better franchise, Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Game of Thrones.
Or Dune.
I'm going to go with Star Wars if you include Legends.
Are the Legends still canon or just some of them?
They're not canon. But, man, if you put Legends in there, it is by far and away the best. All the Thrawn – the Thrawn books are now canon.
Yeah, that's canon now. Yeah, or is about to be.
Can I just say I see the Star Wars behind you, so I'm not surprised, but I am still very surprised.
I do enjoy the Marvel movies. I enjoy them for their entertainment value. I actually really enjoyed, you know, the deep lore behind the Eternals, which my wife and I just watched not too long ago. That was actually one of my favorite. Probably I would put it up right behind Infinity War. Really?
Did you see What If?
No, I have not.
It's good.
Your top two are Infinity War and Eternals. That's your top two. That's an interesting. I've never heard anyone give those two.
Eternals was good. I liked it.
And Mikey is not mocking you for it not being Black Panther. Let's just note that right now, because he mocks me for mine being Winter Soldier.
I was literally
Black waiting Panther would be would talk. Definitely be third.
Not Captain Marvel.
No.
Let me tell you the five greatest Marvel heroes of all time. Black Panther, Black Panther, Panther, Black Panther, Black Panther.
Killmonger.
Bro, if I could get like a
Falcon, the Black Falcon.
Yeah, man, we in here. What's up?
But it's just Falcon.
It's just Falcon, right? Yeah. I forgot. We're just
Falcon. Yeah, the dudes is like, what are you, Black Falcon? He's like, what? It's just Falcon. I haven't watched that since it came out. That's probably a good rewatch.
Falcon I really loved the social topics in that movie. All right, but so we have now we can play. Mikey can't get upset here because State of the Union. We can play that, and nobody can say shit about it. So what I've done is I've got. I was looking online and I found what I think is probably the best snippet of the State of the Union. It's about 5 minutes. So what I'll do is we'll play that snippet. And then when it jumps from topic to topic, we'll kind of pause and kind of talk about it. And we'll kind of move through this pretty quick because I only have about 30 minutes of battery life left here. So then I'll have to switch over to the cell phone or something. I am on the road, so go fuck yourself if you don't like it.
What are you mad for? Ain't nobody attacking you.
I'm actually kind of irritated at myself because I left my charger at home, so I'm attacking myself. Like Mikey, goddammit. If I'm gonna yell at myself, I will yell at myself. No, do you understand?
I am all about moving from inside the center of me and pushing out with nothing but positive things from now on. So no, Dutch, you're not going to insult yourself. Not in front of me, bucko. So you better talk nice about my buddy Dutch or I'll kick his ass, but that would be the same thing. Just don't do it. Talk good about yourself. You have to be – and everyone – I want everyone to start policing their friends better. Start correcting them, speaking negatively on themselves because the shit gets out of hand and that's a coping. Don't let them do it.
Yeah, don't let them do it. All right, so here we go.
Russia's Vladimir Putin sought to shake the very foundations of the free world, thinking he could make it bend to his menacing ways. But he badly miscalculated. He thought he could roll into Ukraine and the world would roll over. Instead, he met with a wall of strength he never anticipated or imagined. He met the Ukrainian people. Together with our allies, we're providing support to the Ukrainians in their fight for freedom. Military assistance, economic assistance, humanitarian assistance. We're giving more than $1 billion of direct assistance to Ukraine and will continue to aid Ukrainian people as they defend their country and help ease their suffering. The United States Department of Justice is assembling a dedicated task force to go after the crimes of the Russian oligarchs. We're joining with European allies to find and seize their yachts, their luxury apartments.
Hey, pause.
Don't tell me that you don't know how you're going to pay reparations. I'm just saying.
Tell me something good.
How can we pay for universal health care?
Boom, 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 boom. Tell me that you like it.
Yeah. I can tell you this. Once you take the money of the oligarchs, that's not a reoccurring stream of income that you can use. So once it's used once, it's gone. And well,
I'm talking
frankly,
about $1 billion of aid that they're going to continue to give.
Billion would be 1/330,000th of what you need for healthcare. Sorry to
I know, but this is just the first installment, though.
Wait. You said 1/330,000th?
1/330,000th.
Oh, okay.
30 trillion is what you need for over 10 years for healthcare.
Right. But that is, we still spend a lot more than that over that 10-year period. Yeah. So
right now,
just to be clear, it's 30 trillion is less than the 44 trillion that we would spend if we 50. Continue. It's 50. Yeah. We're on the track to spend 50 trillion. I thought it was 44.
But I also think this, wouldn't the amount of healthcare expenditure decline as people got healthier because they had healthcare?
That's figured into that cost savings.
Okay. Hey, I'm always learning from the Swedes. So.
All right. So, how do I get that back up there again? Right there. There we go. Nope, that's not the one I wanted. That's the one I wanted. Duh. We're almost done with Ukraine, then we'll talk about this for a quick sec.
We're coming for you, ill-begotten gains. And tonight, I'm announcing that we will join our allies in closing off American airspace to all Russian flights, further isolating Russia and adding additional squeeze on their economy. Recently.
Okay, so I believe that is the end of the first segment. One thing I just want to kind of talk about real quick, and then I will start with the good reverend here when it comes to Ukraine, is this has been really fucking weird. I have been, as I usually am, in some Twitter spaces, just listening and talking. And I was in a situation the other day where I was in a room full of MAGA and communists on the same side saying fuck Ukraine. And the narrative was NATO is bad, which isn't necessarily false, but that we should not be in NATO, not holding Russia to any accountability whatsoever about not being in this, the CSTO. And that we should not be supporting Ukraine because they have white supremacist militias.
So does America.
That's kind of what my argument was. And I sent you guys a tweet. I don't know if you looked at some of the comments to it, but like they were literally saying that we started getting trolled by people saying that we are sucking on the teat of Hillary Clinton, who they obviously have never listened to this show because they know for a fact that that's not true.
Oh, they're talking about our show particular? I thought you meant like our show. Just saying that about.
No, they're talking about our show. They're talking about our show. Because,
really now.
And like there was a whole bunch of people trolling the show.
Hold on, homie. Let me get my banner out and close the door to my office. It's been a long time since this character.
Did you read the tweet that I sent? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Let me close my door. Come on, Dexter. I don't want you to see this.
Yeah, but I mean, while he's getting that, it was the weirdest thing. Like I was getting ripped, like MAGA had a different, slightly different narrative, but they were like, everybody was on Putin's side. And it was like, it was the craziest fucking thing that I've ever seen in my life. Like these communist socialists and these MAGA guys teaming up and saying that we are, I got to get the tweet. I don't remember exactly what it said.
I was about to say, after you play this video, I want you to find the tweet because it's time for another Famine the Inquisitor segment. Bring them before me. Bring them before me. Let me see if I can find it on Twitter real quick. It was just on our normal.
Oh, by the way, when you don't call them communists or socialists, call them tankies. That's what they are.
I'll find it way before you do because I sent it to you yesterday. And the okay, so
the race is on.
This woman,
I want it on screen. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I can't do that because I'm not signing a Twitter on this computer.
I'm working. On it.
It's in the it's in the Facebook chat. So Mikey will pull this up. My retweet of her original tweet was there.
There we go. We're derailing everything. I love when people attack us because there's nothing I love more. Than defending myself against dicks.
Do I need to stop sharing the other screen? Or are you okay? Yeah, I don't have to. All right.
No, cool. That's fine. Is this here?
Yeah, this that's here? one of many. But yeah.
So what them said? This one here. sitting here acting like you were born knowing everything, LOL. I guess you were absent the day humility was taught.
Well, no, that is okay. That is all right. So the tweet that she sent to us is right below that. Yeah. So I tweeted that out as an irony. So what that basically says that, well, read her tweet and then read her pinned tweet. And I was like, how ironic is this? So for the audio listeners,
so read Mikey, this way.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. That right there.
Okay. At Dig on America, I just heard you manufacture consent. You've bought the U.S. narrative on Russia hook, line, and sinker. Sounds like you also believed Iraq had WMDs. Your propagandized narrative, that's the wrong, yes, Jesus, narrative was palpable in that space. Jesus fucking Christ, dot, dot, dot. Clown face, dizzy face, clown face, dizzy face? I don't know. So what did you say to make us sound like, what did she call us? Propagandizers.
That we should support the people of Ukraine who are under attack from a malicious government. And that basically they went. So it was a long conversation. So they're probably trying to blame me, but the I'm just kidding. But the premise is this: we understand that NATO has done some bad shit, especially in Africa. We understand that America has colonized the world and has been, participated in imperialism. That has nothing to do with the people of Ukraine. Okay. If I'm walking down the street and my car bursts into flames and the only person walking by me is a fucking piece of shit white supremacist, that's who's going to save me. Right. And it may not be the world's greatest analogy, but you have to work within the confines that you have. I made a different analogy where I said, look, we know the Red Cross has a very questionable past, but they are the entity that is in place. So you want to start a new organization? Great. But in the meantime, we need to use the resources that are there. And just because there are these Azov militias within Ukraine does not mean that there's not a white supremacy problem in Russia, that there's not a white supremacy issue within the CSTO, but there's not a white supremacy issue within the United States. That is aside from the conversation that has to do with Russia is trying to make Russia great again and build this land ocean around their country by invading a country that is literally screaming and asking us for help in the streets. So, you know, and they want to call us sucking at the teat of Hillary Clinton. I don't give a fuck. You know, so anyway, Mikey, your response.
As soon as she has a show, I'll comment. But if you're just going to be a rando on fucking Twitter with fucking less than 2,000 fucking followers, why don't you make fun of somebody who's popular? Okay, we're over here in the trenches trying to actually get some fucking ideas out there and actually engage guests and talk to people. You're talking shit. So get a channel so that I can go to all your episodes and all your spaces and talk about it, bitch. All right, moving on.
Anyway, so good Reverend, your thoughts on Biden, your thoughts on Biden's thoughts on Ukraine. Did you like that part? Do you support? What do you support? What don't you support? What should we be doing?
Yeah, well, let me just first start off by saying I'm glad to know that you guys are not on the teat of Hillary Clinton. So congratulations on that. I'm actually really happy with President Biden's his conversation on Ukraine. I, of course, think there are things that we need to do more of and some things that we need to do a little bit less of. But under no circumstances will I ever say that the atrocities that are happening in Ukraine deserve to be happening to the Ukrainian people. So we do need to do everything that we can to protect human life, to protect these people who are being attacked by a sociopath who is trying to get the band back together and bring back the old school Soviet Union. So I'm happy that Joe Biden, President Biden, is doing everything that he can to keep us out of a nuclear war, but still keep us engaged. And I do think that we must do everything possible to ensure that we, if we want to be the leaders of the free world, if we want to be the leaders of democracy, if we want to be the leaders of good old fashioned togetherness and standing up for your neighbor and being there for one another, we need to make sure that we do that for the Ukrainians.
Well, I agree with that. So because of the fact that I am remote and have might have to switch devices here, I'm going to play the rest of this real quick and then let us converse on the remaining parts of this. So it's about 3.5 minutes remaining here. So let's go back into – yes.
Sweet, do you want to give your thoughts on that real quick?
And then play the rest of it first.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that. Let's do that, and here we go. I love how his eyes are closed there. Hi, Joe.
Visited New York City Police Department days after the funerals of Officer Wilbur Mora and his partner, Officer Jason Rivera. They were responding to a 9/11 call when a man shot and killed them with a stolen gun. Officer Mora was 27 years old. Officer Rivera was 22 years old. Both Dominican Americans who grew up in the same streets that they later chose to patrol as police officers. I spoke with their families, and I told them they were forever in debt for their sacrifices, and will carry on their mission to restore the trust and safety of every community deserves. Like some of you that have been around for a while, I've worked with you on these issues for a long time. I know what works. Investigating crime prevention and community policing, cops who walk the beat, who know the neighborhood, and who can restore trust and safety. Let's not abandon our streets or choose between safety and equal justice. Should all agree, the answer is not to defund the police. It's to fund the police. Fund them. Fund them.
Pause.
Battery dying.
I understand. I knew you to switch first.
Yeah, I knew. Well, I won't be able to share the screen. So
I also have a computer, Dutch.
All right, here. So I'm going to put, yeah, but I, so real quick side note, why is there no private chat here? I don't see it. Anyway, I'm putting it in the regular chat. Mikey, grab it, start it up at 2:32. And if you would, and I will be right back.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, get out of here. You better run, you coward. So sick of his nonsense. All right, let me remove that. Okay.
You guys,
we're fools and we don't know why people suffer us, but it's very relaxed. Big House.
Yes. My thoughts on what he said.
No one's saying defund the police. We need to fund the police. Like, what's Uncle Joe talking about, man?
That's still problematic because that's vague as hell. People could take it however they want, and it just sounds like patronizing. To me, like, this will get some of them back on my side, and they're never going to be on your side. And no. Fund it just opens the door for a Pandora's box of questions. Mm-hmm. Fund them how? Fund them in the way that the defund the police, the initiative was supposed to be, as such as reallocation of funds away from militarization and toward, steps to maybe take some things off their plate and put them on the plates of people who are more equipped to handle mental health issues and other things. Mm-hmm. Or fund the police as in give them back their tanks and give them back their their leftover military weapons. And we know how kids are with toys. When you get a toy, you want to play with it. Mm-hmm. So when you get, I mean, we seen SWAT. We seen, you know, we seen these movies where they get this military military equipment, and the first thing they want to do is figure out a way to use it. And it's not always the most logical way. It is any excuse they can to use it, they're gonna try to take. Right. So when you say that, I have a problem with that because number one, it sounds patronizing. Number two, it's very vague. And number three, as president, you should be better able to express yourself. And he should have continued on that. After the applause, he could have said, you know, fund the police by doing this, fund the police by doing this, fund the police by doing this, instead of leaving it on the applause line. You know what I mean?
Have traffic cops that aren't armed. Have crisis response units that aren't armed that can go take care of mental health issues.
Or have a mental health advocate with you on those types of case, those types of calls.
But unarmed, you know, it's this demilitarize the police, number one.
Right.
Yep.
Change it's not necessarily defund the police, it's change the funding to what makes actual sense.
Right. And even when we talk about demilitarizing the police, there are plenty of veterans who've said that is not our escalation protocol. That is not our engagement protocol. So even when we say demilitarize the police, that's still a quasi misnomer, because in military situations, they don't react that way. When, you know, so
well, when I say demilitarize, I mean,
I said it too.
They don't have an APC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they don't need an APC.
There's fucking traffic lights and fucking stop signs.
Right.
You're not driving off road to like go get a bunker somewhere. You're taking a left on 4th Street, going to go down a little bit. You're going to turn on Main.
And like, if they got your plate, they know where you're going.
Right. I mean, OnStar these days can just, I mean, you pop them up and they'll just
everybody
tell you
has nav. Everybody has navigation.
Not me, man. I'm totally off the grid with my vehicle. My purveyance.
But you got your phone on the car in the car with you.
No, I throw that joint out the window.
I think the funny from
Atlanta, I break
okay,
it every
okay,
six
Reacher.
Months.
Okay, Reacher.
I think the funny thing about that though, just quick funny point on it was, do you see how Kamala was a little bit delayed?
God.
How she was delayed to stand up. Like Nancy jumped up.
No. Where's clapping. The real Dutch? This is a simulation. Where's the real Dutch? He has never said her fucking name right on the first try. Never. Where's real Dutch?
I always say.
Let's take the win. Let's take the win, Mikey.
Look, I said this before. She was my senator in California. I never heard anyone call her anything except for Kamala. And then they said, okay, it's Kamala. So it takes a minute to retrain your brain.
Haas, that's a clone. Get the
he actually said he tries to retrain his brain.
Wow, that's a clone.
Dutch switched. He switched.
Switched devices and just came back.
Now it's a whole new Dutch.
Yo, we got to keep Dutch on the iPhone. It's the best Dutch ever.
Right.
Oh, and then he instantly lost his audio. Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me pull up the share for you there, Dutch boy. I think I got it at the right spot. Okay. Guessing that's a yes. So I'm just going to press play here. And then when he gets it fixed or someone yells pause, I'll stop. Here we go.
Fund them with resources and training. Resources and training they need to protect our communities.
I've been talking about training for years.
No life.
Still killing people.
Ask my budget to keep our neighborhoods safe. And with all the bright spots in our economy, record job growth, higher wages. Too many families are struggling to keep up with their bills. Inflation is robbing them of gains they thought otherwise they would be able to feel.
Sweet, is that true?
Inflation is high. It on an annualized basis, it was over 7% there for a few months. That's not 7% in that month. That's, you know, like 0.7% during that month alone, which if you annualize it out. But the problem with that is the underlying reason why. And the underlying reason why inflation is happening is more to do with the current environment and consumer preferences and how they changed based on the environment of the pandemic rather than anything that the Fed has been doing in its creating liquidity systems. Number one. Number two, you don't want to be in an economy where liquidity has blips. Mm-hmm. Liquidity.
What does that mean?
when you can't buy or sell something because there's no either buyer or seller on the other end, that's liquidity dry up. And so when that happens, how do you value an asset when nobody's trading anything? Nobody's trading anything. Your asset is value is at zero. And so that basically destroys the wholesale of our financial system and how it works based on, because there are three levels. There's level one, which is your traded, easily trade. You can go to the Wall Street Journal and see something as it happens. You can value it. A level one quote would be your typical stock, IBM stock. Level two quote is something that trades on the over the counter. So that's more private transactions, but those private transactions are publicized. They're just a little bit harder to get at. You need like a Bloomberg terminal or something like that, that a financial institution has and can find it and can value it. And you have your level threes, which are a lot harder, and they're much more infrequently valued. The problem is when a liquidity crunch comes, level three assets will get valued at zero. Level two assets won't be able to be bought or sold, and they'll get valued at zero. And level one assets will feel the crunch of the previous two, and you'll find a crash, and then you'll lose 80% of the value there. So the Fed being a backstop and providing liquidity probably prevented a deflationary spiral, and in that prevented quite a bit of a depression that could have happened.
Right.
When you take liquidity out of the system, 1937 happens all over again, which is when we deepened and restarted the depression all over again, when the Fed took liquidity out of the system. You just cannot do it. And everybody at the Fed knows that, number one. Number two, the Fed is not a government institution, and it never should be. And so the lot of what we're looking at for inflation has more to do with how the consumer was forced to change their preference.
Right.
I actually have a graph here that I could probably pull up here pretty quick that basically details
graphs.
Yeah.
Hey.
That go into inflation. I have a whole presentation on inflation that could easily show you. Let's see here.
And for those who might be listening for the first time, Iris Reed, dear friend of the show, is an economist. Did you turn in your last thesis?
No. I'm still in my first year of school. So,
no. Oh, you're in your first year for your
first year of PhD, PhD Ooh, school.
You bet. See, that's what you get when you come on a Dig on America. You get surprisingly well connected, drunk.
So,
and high
I'm sharing my screen here. If you could pop that up,
gotcha, homie.
So, if we come down here to consumer preferences, you can see, and I'll try to describe this for people that are listening, but the graph basically shows that the growth in the blue line is services and the red line is goods. And you can obviously tell when the pandemic hits. The grayed out part is the quote unquote recession. That was the recessionary period when GDP was negative. And what you can see is when you have to stay home or when something like this happens, when a pandemic happens, your preference for services goes pretty far down. You don't go to movies. You don't, you know, go out to eat. But what you do buy is goods. All of a sudden you need a new computer because you're working from home. You need a new webcam. You need, you know, all these things that are goods. So your whole preferences change. Well, the supply that was sitting there wasn't ready to pick up the slack of the change in consumer preferences. So what you have is a demand shift into a supply that didn't exist. And while this gets into, you know, it's just supply and demand, bro. This gets into the underlying cause of why supply was not there to meet the demand initially. And then we get into the other part that annoys me is you get into the CPI for urban consumers. Uh-oh. If you look at this, if you straight lined out... If you straight lined out the two lines. The straight line out, number one, is historical inflation from 2000 to now. Our current inflation projection out still does not meet where inflation would be had we been at the same inflation rate from 2000 all the way to now. But we are breaking off the trend from the Great Recession to today. So in effect, our current pricing levels of where we're at is not completely out of whack on a historical basis.
So I have a question about this. I just want to, and forgive my ignorance, but I want to ask you, can you pull that graph back up? I want to ask you a quick question in regards to that graph. So I want to make sure that I understand. You're saying that the red line is the actual
CPI.
That's the actual CPI, which is...
Hey, real quick, just in case somebody, I mean, I know what CPI means, but if, in case somebody else didn't know, maybe we
Consumer Price Index, it's how we view, it's a proportioned basket of goods that is proportioned out, and it's always changing how that basket is put together. So sometimes, you know, it's based on what people actually try and spend out of their budget in their household. So if the CPI has a basket of 30 energy, you know, goods, what a gallon of gas is, what an MCF of natural gas is, what, you know, all the different costs for energy that go down the line, electricity, you know, think of all those things. And then the changes of those prices, you add them all up, you know, and weight them out per capita. And then that's how you judge where prices are headed.
And so, and the straight line, the long straight line is where we would have been provided the pandemic had not have occurred. Is that, I want to make sure.
No, that is the straight line, trend line of inflation, from, if you would have marked it out from 2000 to 2008.
Gotcha.
So I mean, if you would have just continued the same rate of inflation out, we're still
not.
Because
it just seems like where we are today is not that, where we are with the red CPI line is not that far off from where the trend would have been.
Correct.
You know, and that's something that, you know, when people say about, you know, how high inflation is, I think graphs like this show that we're really not that, we're lower than where we would have been expected to be at this point, but we are close to where we were expected to be, which is still unfortunate. Don't get me wrong. No, it's still unfortunate because, you know, this crap is terrible for a lot of people, and gas is sky high, food is sky high. It's terrible. And we do need to find a way to make it easier for individuals. But it's good to have this type of physical context that we can see.
And then
so why do you think, real quick, why do you think that that Biden didn't suggest, you know, diversifying the amount of money that we spend back into services and things like cruises and movies and, you know, vacations and stuff like that? Because obviously people stopped doing that. They stopped going to ball games and stuff like that as much during COVID. But he didn't really green like that. And like you just said, that seems to be like the key component to why inflation has gone up, because everybody's buying the exact same thing. Everybody's improving their house. Everybody's, you know, driving to the beach or something like that, right? Is that a fair characterization?
That's true. But as things are looking now, all the relaxing of COVID restrictions, it'll actually, as we relax the restrictions, it'll fix itself over time, because the second you're going to have a lot of people that the second you say it's okay to go back to the movies, that tomorrow that's where they're headed.
Right.
Because that's what the consumer preference is. Over time, consumer preferences don't change very much unless you have an event like we've had for the last 2 years.
But isn't there an argument that can be made that consumer preference has changed? A lot of people don't want to go back to the movies. A lot of people they like streaming it from home, you know, getting it from their couch.
But that's a service. So that spending of streaming changes where the money is from. If you're just talking about preferences between goods and services, That's taking away from goods back into services, streaming, other things like that. That's we would place that into because technically you could have an infinite supply of streaming.
Gotcha.
You could have all 340 million people in the United States watching Killing Eve on streaming services, and you're not going to have a supply issue.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Last real quick question. The gas pipeline, I don't know if you got this part of the video yet while I was fixing my stuff, but should, in your opinion, should we block any more the incoming imports of Russian fuel into the United States? Because it seems like we should, but it seems like he's not doing that because it would possibly make prices go even higher, even though it's not really his fault that gas prices are high to begin with, but he doesn't want to be responsible for them going higher. Is that about right? Or
we're talking crude oil, wrong? Not gas.
Crude, right. Crude, right.
Okay. Because
I refer to it all as gas, including the stuff that I have after a burrito. Okay. It's still gas.
Why are you so gassy?
But yes, right, we're referring to crude oil. Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, you could, and we can get it from other sources pretty easily. And the fact of the matter is if you look at the graphs, we'll be energy, quote unquote, independent at the end of next year based on trend lines. Well, actually, United States will be producing enough to feed its own, which takes Russia completely out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Russia is essentially, you know, an economy based upon commodities and natural commodities that they have to, you know, create from the ground and then export. When people no longer need those particular things, their economy falters. And when we, I hate to say it, when we drill, we hurt Russia.
Yeah.
And number one, number two, I want politicians to stop saying that we can stop drilling, because half of my prescription drugs that keep me alive are dependent upon petroleum being coming out of the ground to create them. The plastics in the OR, you know, that made sure that everything was sterile in that OR room when I had heart surgery, made from petroleum. If you want to talk about petroleum for fuel, fine. Stop saying we can stop drilling for oil, because we can't.
It's so important that people understand that, because a lot of people do not understand that, you know, a lot of the things that are, you know, not the progressive talking points are still very important and pivotal to our everyday lives. You know, just like what you're saying, how, you know, those things directly affect you, they directly affect other people. And some of the people who scream, stop drilling, stop drilling, stop drilling, they don't really, you know, that's just not feasible. That's impossible for us to ever happen unless we can actually come up with some type of replacements and subsidies. But that probably won't come for the next 10, 15, 20 years. So it's impossible to stop drilling. And especially since we are becoming more energy independent on our own, and which some we should have been heavily focused on over the last decade. But now that we are getting to, you know, force this envelope, it's something that we should have been doing, and it's something that we need to work towards, but we can't just totally put a complete, you know, halt. It's the same thing with the farmers. You know, a lot of farmers, when they say all the changes that need to happen with farmers and their equipment, you know, in California, where I think Dutch, where you said you lived for a while, they're saying, you know, no more gas powered lawnmowers and trimmers and things. But for a lot of farmers here in the South and throughout, you know, middle and south of the country, you know, they still need those gas powered tractors. And if there are no real subsidies or real, you know, if you're not out here giving people major money to go and create, you know, buy an electric tractor or an electric, you know, an electric electric hoe, you're not going to you can't expect people just to give up everything that is petroleum based overnight. It's not possible.
Well, but yeah, but here's my point. Nobody is saying that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not like trying to punch you, but like nobody is saying get rid of gas tomorrow. Right. I think what we're saying is, and I absolutely agree with Swede. Like, in fact, I watched a I don't know if you call it a documentary. There's a show on Netflix about a science show. The first episode was on plastic. I don't remember the name of it. I'll find it later and put it in the notes. It was just astonishing, right? Plastic has a lot of bad, in, you know, as far as how it affects our oceans, but it also has a lot of good. You can't make medicine. You can't make, you know, plastics without it. And plastics are integral into medicine and into the medical field and into a lot of other, into manufacturing.
Yeah.
It's just in so much stuff that you can't even begin to comprehend. And unfortunately, we need fossil fuels for that.
Yeah.
But you don't need to have a fucking, I know they don't make them anymore, but you don't need to have a fucking Hummer, right? Yeah. So if we can incentivize people to start to move away from fossil fuels as a mode of transportation, then we can, you know, make some real big strides there, because we won't have as much CO2 and carbon monoxide going into the atmosphere. We can lower our footprint and still use the petroleum that we extract from the world to the places where it is more vital, until we come up with a something other than plastic that doesn't depend on petroleum. I don't think anybody's saying stop drilling oil now. They're saying let's start to find a way to move away from it as a mode of transportation. I think that's fair argument.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. No, I don't think it's impossible to stop drilling now. It's unfortunate that the narrative is always pushed. You know, when the whole Green New Deal thing came about, it's unfortunate that the narrative was, you know, killing all the cows and taking away, you know, all of your things. Like I said, unless there's going to be a real grassroots effort to make sure that everyone can have those electric type vehicles, it's just unfeasible to say, you know, that we're going to phase away from it today. Now, mind you, I'm so excited that President Joe Biden has said, you know, over the next 20, 30 years, we're going to be looking to make sure that electric cars and electric vehicles and electric, you know, situations like that will be the norm. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. I hope that in this infrastructure bill, where there's money that is allocated to make sure that there are charging stations up and down the country, to make sure that, you know, just in his State of the Union, when he was talking about, you know, having these auto parts made right here in the great U.S. of A, making sure that, you know, we can build these cars, make them affordable, and make sure that, hey, everybody can actually have access to it. But we've got to get away from the narratives of, you know, people are going to kill the cows and they're going to, you know, stop drilling today, because that's just not feasible.
Yeah. I am very, very ready for the new, like, base model Tesla.
Yeah.
I'm overdue for a car.
I'm ready.
And I think a Tesla would be pretty sweet. The
companies that are coming out that are going to compete with Tesla, you're going to enjoy more. The company that actually developed and makes Audi's e-tron, you're going to love them a lot more than Tesla, and they're a lot less problematic of a company. A, they don't have racism charges against them every other day. But B, they don't also have weld joints that fail on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So Tesla's got a lot of problems. Number one, Tesla hasn't innovated anything for a long time. In fact, Elon Musk bought the right to even say he started that company. He didn't. He has had no innovation has come out of
that for a long time. He started SpaceX, but not Tesla.
Yeah. Right. He paid for the right to say that he did start Tesla.
There you go. Hey,
there's a pretty cool company, just FYI, called Zero. Hassel, love this. Zero Motorcycles, that makes a completely electric motorcycle. I don't know if you've seen those. And like, these things are starting to come out, and they're fucking awesome, dude. I mean, they even have a, because I asked the lady, my company works with them. I asked the lady, I go, well, as a rider, I want that noise, right? And she was like, we can produce artificial noise as a safety precaution. It's like, they've thought of fucking everything. These Zero Motorcycles are fucking badass. So just quick side note there.
So you guys can go out there rolling around on a Milwaukee grinder. Just fucking a little hand tool just beefed up. It's cool. I get it.
No, but yeah, I mean, I get your enthusiasm for Tesla. I get your enthusiasm for the electric car because, A, when you step on the gas in an electric car, all that torque goes right to the wheel. Oh, and you take off like a bat out of hell. Anybody except for a Lamborghini going up against an electric car is going to lose.
You know? All you kids in your Hellcats, get ready.
Get ready.
The biggest problem is we just don't have enough places to charge them, you know, and that's obviously what they have to fix on. Yeah.
Oh, my God. An infrastructure bill could maybe help this.
Oh, really? An infrastructure bill, you say? I wish somebody would try to come up with something to beef up our infrastructure in so many aspects.
It's coming in 2 weeks from the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah. Along with that healthcare.
Yeah. But don't forget, now it's no more infrastructure weeks. We're at an infrastructure decade. Infrastructure decades.
Oh, right. That reminds me.
I get it. That's why my top priority is getting prices under control. And so we have a choice. One way to fight inflation is to drive down wages and make Americans poorer. I think I have a better idea to fight inflation.
He woke a lot of people up when he said that. You know, like a lot of folks, that's all they heard. And then when he finally finished the sentence, it was like, okay, there we go. But yeah, he woke a lot of folks up with that.
Wake your ass up.
He wanted to make sure you still were paying attention.
Right. The Republicans were like, what did he just say?
You know, Fox News has actually run that clip and just stopped it right there.
Of course.
It's very unfortunate.
Of course. It's Fox.
Of course.
It's Fox. Fox Entertainment.
It's unfortunate. Listen, everybody, I got to dip out real quick, but I have enjoyed you all very thoroughly. I cannot say enough how happy I have been to be here with you guys. You guys are hilarious and informative and just a big ball of fun. And I can't say thanks enough for the invitation.
Hey, well, thanks so much. And do you play that piano behind you?
You know what? Why are you playing? Actually, I can.
Okay, good.
Literally right over there that I will play for you. You know, I'll take you back to church.
All right. I saw this palatial estate behind you, and I'm like, is that a decorative piano? You know, because, you know, some folks, man, they got the decorative piano. It's like the plastic on the furniture in the living room. You can't go in there.
You know. You're funny. Here's a really sad fact. Really sad fact. In my family, we collect different things. Myself and two of my uncles collect pianos. It's really odd. No, that is not one of them. That is not. But we collect pianos. And it's so weird because it's an odd thing. And I had the young lady who ran away to Japan used to just make fun of us like crazy because she's like, what rational people out of all of the things that you guys could collect?
Like how many?
Well, let's see. I have four. I have four because I have a keyboard as well. My uncle Ellery has three and my uncle Skip has.
Like upright or baby grands? Like what size pianos are we talking about?
So here? I have two uprights, an organ and a keyboard. My Uncle Ellery has the organ with the pipes, you know, in the old
pipes. He's got the bronk.
He has the organ with the pipes. He has the baby grand, and he also has an upright. And my Uncle Skip has like two uprights, one baby grand. He has two uprights, one baby grand, like three keyboards. He's in a band, and he's a musical prodigy. And
he'd be over there like this.
Yes, he actually does. You know,
I hate that guy. You don't get to have 48 instruments. Calm down.
Yes, yeah, no, and then he'll jump on the drums. He plays every single instrument that you can think of. I saw this man play the oboe and was so confused because I'm like, how do you even know how to play an oboe?
He's out there like Prince,
right? Out there doing everything.
Everybody loves the double reed. My sister plays the oboe in the Wisconsin Symphony.
Really?
Oh, name dropping. Blang.
Let them know. I got
you know how we give it up.
Don't play
with it. You know how we give it up.
You know. Exactly. Yeah, you know, my sister, you know, she over in Wisconsin.
You know, she played all the I love it, man. Big congratulations to her. Because for one thing, I love a symphony. And now I feel like I have to come to Wisconsin. I never had a reason to come, but now I got to come.
That would be the only reason. Just do it. Pleasure and pain. Touch and go. Touchdown to the symphony and get up out of there real quick.
Her day job is actually even more impressive because she handles emotionally disturbed children in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
On a daily basis.
That's the real flex
So she actually knows wrestling holds and things like that because she one of the few people that's allowed to do holds on children of the fact that they either harm themselves or the kids around them.
Mm. Wow. Tiger style.
Wow.
You know what? Wow. That's a hell of a job.
I was gonna say,
and she's 5'3" and like 110.
See her grabbing them like
the ones you gotta watch out for.
Man, you don't want to fight them.
Little terriers.
Man, they'd be all new like a spider monkey, be crawling all over your arms, very strong.
Just everywhere. I love it. Before I do go, there is just one more thing that I need to do. I pointed out Nirvana with Dutch. I pointed out the two Muppets with Swede, Mikey, you know, Owens. I had to point that out. Now, Big Hoss.
Yes.
I was going to point out, you know, this is apparently what politicians do, and they just had to let me know this. I was going to point out the bottles. You know, Big Mama had the bottles across the cabinet. That's what I was going to point out. But I found something much better.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Alpha.
I did not know that he was an ice cold brother. I did not know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I did not know that he was an ice cold brother. Thank you so much.
My God. I can't.
Thank you so much. I had no idea until you got up.
We stay out late, but most of all, we what?
That's not
we wait. Alpha Phi Alpha, ice baby.
So I love it. I love it. And it wasn't until he got up that I was like, "Wait a minute."
That's it. No more black candidates on the show. That's it.
I'm talking about. Let me tell you. Give me the goddamn. Give me the big screen. I'm sick of this. Listen here, alphas. You're everywhere and nowhere.
That's right.
I can't get away from you, alphas. That's
right.
You're all around. What?
Oh no. Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, I don't have it. Oh my God. So I have this humongous.
It's a stepbrothers moment here all day long.
It's a humongous gorilla head with the gold crown.
Got the gold tooth on it?
Yes. Yes, boy.
I need one of those. I'm going to have to hit the link.
I need the link. Mikey, if you think it's hard to stay away from alphas, just try to stay away from Sigma Alpha everyone.
Right.
Well, you know, that's difficult. That's going to be difficult.
Damn.
I love
that. We'll let another alpha sneak up.
Oh, wait. Look at my torch. Check out the torch.
Oh, wait. Do I have... See, I don't have any of my paraphernalia around here. God, I don't have any paraphernalia. I have the scarf. I have the gorilla. I have the full-on Sphinx in the bathroom. Like, you come visit and spend the night with me, you're going to be mad because you're laying on black and gold sheets.
My wife says, if one more black and gold pair of shoes come in his house, one more black and gold hat, one more black and... She's like, what's in that box? I'm like, right. You don't want to know. You don't want to know what's in the box, man.
Don't ask me.
And she's out there like Brad Pitt in Seven. What's in the box?
Like, what's in the box?
I'm going to go down to the basement and I'll bring the empty box back up. Okay.
I love it. Let me tell you something. I love it. And when you got up, I was like, I can't let this slide.
We're going to connect. I'm going to get your information from Dutch and we're going to connect. Definitely.
That'll work.
I'm not fucking giving it to you.
No, don't tell him.
I'll find him. If you're on Facebook, he probably in a group that I'm in.
That's right.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna start fronting like I'm an alpha.
I'm gonna get in CEO Facebook groups.
I mean, you can do that as a kappa. Just don't do it as an alpha.
No, I'm telling you because people will come and see you. And I'm not even lying. People will come and see you.
Yeah, that Greek life is real life. Let me chill.
My bad. Between these two and Brother Warnock, I don't know what I'm going
to. You got to. I love it.
You
I
know what's it. Crazy? I think I shared it in our group chat. I'm just, you know, minding my own business, taking a dump, going through Facebook like everybody else. And here go this. It's like an old Judge Joe Brown clip.
Yes, yes.
And the dude came up.
No, that wasn't Joe Brown. It was Brother
Mathis.
Mathis. Brother Mathis, yes.
And he's like, oh, I see you pledged in college. What a fraternity. Oh, you know Alpha.
She was like the Alphas. He went.
And they both go flashing their little Greek gang signs. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, they're both in the Illuminati.
I was like, I was like, she lost.
Yeah, she ain't, whatever she said. Your Honor, there's video footage of him stealing my purse. No.
Not an alpha.
And you
man.
Know what? Actually, you in contempt of court. This man is an alpha.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's what it's all about, a brotherhood. It really is. It's about the brotherhood. And not even just with your fraternity. With all whoever of it is, all of them. It's a family affair. And you've got to hold one another tight, you know?
Yep.
You got to. So, all right, I love it. Y'all be safe. Take it easy.
On that note, get him out of here.
I love it. Y'all be safe.
All right.
All right, brother.
Thanks. What you
unfucking believable.
You
hijacked it. Hijacks every show.
You knew he was a fucking alpha.
I did not know he was an alpha. I did not.
I call bullshit.
I promise you, I didn't.
I'm going to have to vet these guys more.
My big old head was barking the brick.
I'm still convinced that he knew that we, man, something's up.
Oh, your costs, not your wages.
Cost, go back 5 seconds. I forgot what we were talking about.
I think I have a better idea to fight inflation.
There we go.
Lower your costs, not your wages. Folks.
All right, real quick, pause.
That means make more
Irish Swede. How does a company do such a thing?
Well, I mean, productivity going up obviously helps. Consumer preferences returning back to where they were so that current supply chains can handle what needs to be output. I mean, the vast majority of the problem, it comes in from the fact that, you know, the port in L.A. had a 3-month time wait, I think it was at one point.
Yeah, it's still that way because I worked there. But yeah.
And it's usually 2 weeks. So, you know, the trains that they load up to go to Chicago to drop things off have been absolutely terrible. Number one. Number two. You know, with the chip shortage and everything else, it just costs, you know, it's just going to take time for TSMC to get up their plants in Phoenix, I believe, Scottsdale area, and a few others, but also the water shortage in Taiwan that, prevented them from running at a full 100% capacity. So you can say all day long that we just produce more goods to increase supply. It's hard to ramp up production like that unless someone bombs Pearl Harbor and you have like this united front to just go out and socialize a whole bunch of industries and turn them into, you know, mass production of war vehicles. It just doesn't happen. And number one, number two, you don't want it to happen because what happens when you drive prices down to, you know, unheard of levels, you start a deflationary spiral, which is a death spiral. In economics terms, deflation is so bad that you would rather have runaway inflation than any sort of deflation other than maybe 1 week's worth of price drops. So, I mean, this is political posturing. He knows that his economic advisors probably sat him down and said, hey, look, when consumers get back to where they were pre-pandemic, this is all just going to fix itself. Because people are going to go back to the way that they were living life beforehand. And frankly, our economy is set up for that.
Right.
And so he's going to take credit for things that basically he has on autopilot.
It's, son of a bitch.
It's the way it works.
Cars and semiconductors in America. More infrastructure and innovation in America. More goods moving faster and cheaper in America. More jobs where you can earn a good living in America. Instead of relying on foreign supply chains, let's make it in America. Now is the hour. Our moment of responsibility. Our test of resolve and conscience, of history itself. It is in this moment that our character of this generation is formed. Our purpose is found. Our future is forged. Well, I know this nation. We'll meet the test. Protect freedom and liberty. Expand fairness and opportunity. And we will save democracy. As hard as those times have been, I'm more optimistic about America today than I've been my whole life. Because I see the future that's within our grasp. Because I know there's simply nothing beyond our capacity. We're the only nation on earth that has always turned every crisis we faced into an opportunity. The only nation that can be defined by a single word, possibilities. So on this night, on our 245th year as a nation, I've come to report on the state of the nation, the state of the union. And my report is this. The state of the union is strong because you, the American people, are strong. We are stronger today. We are stronger today than we were a year ago. And we'll be stronger a year from now than we are today. This is our moment to meet and overcome the challenges of our time. And we will, as one people, one America, the United States of America.
You know what? I'm not going to front. I kind of like some of that bolstery. Come on, y'all. We got this kind of shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we're the only nation that
ever
has adversity and overcomes that. So like I said, it was weird because the first time I watched the speech, I was like, eh. The second time I watched I liked it better. I do think that he, it's worth saying that he obviously didn't resonate with people. And why do I say that? Because after the State of the Union, CNN did a poll, and so did, I think it was HuffPo, and just asking people if they were, you know, if it was positive, somewhat positive, neutral, negative, or very negative. And he had 41% said that it was positive. That is the lowest number that we have had in like 50 years. And the data pool of people that they used for this survey was a plus 11% or plus 11 points Democrat, higher than what the nation is. So there was not even any skew for the plus 11 points more for Democrats. So the criticism has to be there in that, even though I think the speech was probably fine, what do you guys think? Why did it score so low?
I would say that there's other polls that show 80% approval of the remarks, 80% approval of the positiveness, and a vast majority, I don't know what vast majority means in this article, felt optimistic and proud after the speech. So I think you may have sampling error in a lot of these.
It may just depend on who you read and who they talk to.
Well, I think it's sampling error. I think, you know, that maybe they just got a bad N value and they called.
Well, which one?
All
the 80% or the 41?
I think until we get all of them put together and start doing a meta on them, that will be the real number.
I don't put a lot of stock in those right after polls because, just as Sweet says, you know, It's all kind of variables in those.
Well, the main thing is that this is a big midterm. This is maybe not be, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's right there with 2018. I'm not sure it's quite as high, but it's right there.
I just don't, I don't think that the State of the Union speech is going to prevent the bloodbath that's going to happen in this midterm, though. You know what I mean?
No, especially when Republicans retake everything, because I think that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that there's going to be a big swing back to the right on this.
Because the way that things are working right now, especially like state battleground states like the state of Iowa, where they just basically told trans people that they don't exist today, it's a sad day for a lot of people's rights. That are just currently being, and they're being told that, you know, they're being denied existence.
Yeah.
For who they are. And I don't know how better to explain that, because I'm not a trans person myself. And I would rather have them speak for themselves. But at this point, it's embarrassing that we have states like Texas and Iowa that do things like this.
Yeah. It's some really horrible stuff happening out there in the LGBT community, as far as legislation against that community. I mean, I don't want to have a who's suffering the worst contest, but I'm seeing just it's terrible. It's terrible.
Seeing a flight in a methodology behind these people that gets behind a string of words that Mikey and Haas, you're going to hate. But I feel like they're all going on this separate but equal thing. Like, we need to separate these people out, but we can still treat them equally.
Right. And that's not going to happen. And we've been there. We know that doesn't work.
Tried it.
So
you literally have a huge conversation right now of people in Alberta, Canada, who want to separate from the rest of Canada. And you have the same conversation of people in Texas who want, like, these Republicans, when I listen to them talk, and I listen to them talk daily, they want two nations. And like, it's fucking weird, but like the reason why they win is because fascist talk tracks work. That's why they're used.
Yeah. There's an enemy out there. Here it is. We need to unite against the enemy.
Here's the boogeyman. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Whether it's Jews.
Yeah,
it's always some dangerous group that's coming for you. We'll talk more about this next week, because that's what the dig's on. Because Putin's a fucking fascist. But so I guess we got to get to the humidor. We'll close off on the, like, Mikey, what were your thoughts on the overall State of the Union? Because you haven't really mentioned yet.
I thought he did fine. Because that's we already know what the state of the nation is. It's just more or less, how well did his speech land? What did he not say? What did he fuck up? He did fine for being Joe Biden. I don't really have high expectations of him. He's not a great orator, obviously.
No, he's no Obama.
He's no Obama, but we can't expect to have Obamas every year. So,
sadly.
And the more important thing is, he's not Trump. So I'll take it.
Right.
Think about how low our standards have dropped.
Right.
Don't care. I grew up black in America. I have to recognize some things are inherently just gonna be fucked up.
And I do want to ask one real quick last question. Swede. I am of the opinion that presidents have almost no control over the stock market, at least in the long term, or inflation, really the economy in general. Over the long term. Short term, absolutely, I think they can impact it. Is that line of thinking accurate? And if not, why?
Yeah, it is. And it's entirely accurate, because the people that control the major parts of the economy, so prices and employment, that's the mandate of the Fed. is to maintain full employment and maintain a steady state inflation, inflationary pressure, which is, you know, in the 1.5 to 3.5% range. So that sits completely outside. The only thing the president has any control over is who he nominates for the Board of Governors, who he puts into the Treasury to manage the government coffers. Long-term, Congress has a little bit more of an influence because they set tax policy, and tax policy is you know, it's not monetary policy, but tax policy does remove money from the money supply. And so you do have an effect of reducing velocity in the money supply through taxation policy. Their effects over the long term are much more muted. The president can make a stock market crash over 3 days with some really dumb remarks. But beyond that, any major effect really doesn't sit with the office of the president.
Fair enough. Appreciate it. And I guess also worth saying, we're seeing this across the world. So Biden's not responsible for what's happening in Australia, right?
Sure he is.
You know, oh, that's right. That's right. He is. I forgot.
The Republicans. And Australia is run by a right wing, you know, cabal of parties. So, I mean, that we're all in this boat, and I don't know why some people are just dead set on drilling holes in the bottom of it.
But I think the hole should go here. Stop drilling the hole. No, over here. No, why don't you put the hole at the top of the boat where the water is not?
Make it Irish clear. Swede, do you have a parting shot for us? It's your economics advice for the day?
Nah, I can't give advice.
to the president.
You're trying to get, you know, the SEC, the alphabet boys after him.
We're entering a period in which workers have unprecedented ability to assert their demands and rights upon employers. The great resignation.
That's why you're seeing all this bullshit inflation.
The wage inflation has been very good. Here in Omaha, the minimum wage, you know, according to the market, is about $13-14 an hour, which for Omaha is actually pretty good. So we're at a point right now where companies are starting to recognize that we have a worker shortage and it ain't going anywhere anytime soon. If you're listening to this and you're an employee, take advantage of it. Unionize. Start organizing. Get out there.
Yeah. I will discuss it off air, but I'm in a situation where unfortunately for a couple of the companies that I work for, I have accidentally found out what my skills are actually worth.
Uh-oh.
And if they want those skills, they're going to have to pay for them, or I'm going to give them to someone else.
I'm gonna have to hit you up with the Jamie Foxx.
Underpaying your employees is going to be detrimental to your business.
They call him Magic Hands Mikey.
I didn't know you followed me in those circles.
Yeah, I'm on your OnlyFans.
Damn it. We can't say that. We're on Twitch. You can't say that.
Jeez. Always so many rules.
There's a lot of rules, man.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this show. Next week, fascism, and I believe in another candidate, though I have not yet confirmed that, but I should confirm it by tomorrow. So.
Big on America.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Proof the deep state is real in America.
The media said what? Ha ha ha!
Patently false fake news.
Your organization's terrible.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, patriotism?
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
They be fighting the power, talking about social issues, politics, you know what I'm saying?
Three punches.
I enjoy Big Hoss.
And I've smoking my cigar, of course.
Am I allowed to talk?
No, not right now.
You crazy Dutch bastard!
Mikey, you're getting a bit upset here.
Mikey, you can edit.
My favorite podcast.
Take names, take ass.
There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Get in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Big on America.
This is Brew Crime, a craft beer and true crime podcast.
I'm Mike.
I'm Beck.
And I'm Nina.
And we're your hosts.
We pair a true crime story with a craft beer.
That Nina will probably hate.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. You can find our show on all your favorite podcast apps, and if you can't find it, contact us, and we'll try and change that.
We can be found at brewcrime.com, or on Twitter at brewcrime, on Facebook at brewcrime, or if you want to go to our group, it's group/brewcrime on Facebook, or on Instagram at Pacific Beer Chat.
Join us as we discuss the horrible crimes that surround us and try not to giggle.
Hey! Come back!
Big on America.